The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Matthew 28, verses 28 is found on page 835 of the Pew Bibles. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I've told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Grateful that you're with us. As we continue on, we are really kind of coming to an end of this series, looking at what it means to be a disciple, what it means to make disciples. And that's really important for us as a church. And it's been important for my own life because Maybe your story is somewhat like mine. I didn't grow up in or around the church. I went to church growing up maybe a handful of times. You know, you stay overnight with a friend on a Saturday, and they do the church thing, and so you got to bring the nice set of clothes and head to church with them. That was my only experience with church. And yet, as I grew older into my teen years, I started to become what I'd say is just spiritually curious. I had a lot of questions. I didn't know how to make sense of those questions. And sometimes that came out as, you know, an angsty teenager trying to stump the chump. "I'm going to show you. You don't have answers," you know, all that kind of stuff. But there were some people who saw through that facade and began to take my questions seriously. And that was so helpful for me because over the course of several years, as people just began helping me understand who Jesus was and what he did on my behalf and what it meant to come into a relationship with him, my life was changed forever. And those people that invested in me were just ordinary men and women like you all. There was nothing special. They weren't vocational. They weren't doing this because it was a job. They loved Jesus, and they wanted to help a teenager come to know Jesus. And that's so valuable for us to consider this morning, because as we look to Matthew 28, what we see is the very last words of Jesus giving his disciples and his disciples today a commission. It's often been said that last words are meant to be lasting words. And Jesus' last words to his disciples, for them now and us here, is to make disciples. That we're, if you know Jesus, then you're to be the kind of man, the kind of woman, the kind of teenager who is investing your life in others. That your friends, colleagues, co-workers, classmates could come to know Jesus, have their lives changed and transformed from the inside out. That you would walk with brothers and sisters in Christ, helping them grow up in Jesus. That they might too become the kinds of people who are investing their lives in others for their spiritual good. This passage is so important for us because it helps us see that if you're a disciple of Jesus, disciple making is to be an everyday endeavor. It's just part of ordinary life. It's not something extraordinary that you add to your plate, you add to everything else you're doing. Rather, it's just an ordinary way of life lived with some intentionality. That we could be mindful of what God is doing around us and we could join him in that work. That we could help our friends and neighbors and co-workers see Jesus for who he is and then help people grow up in Christ that they might be able to do that same kind of work for others. Everyday disciple making is for every disciple. That's what I hope we understand this morning. If you're a disciple of Jesus, then this commission is for you. It's for me. That we could be taking part in the ordinary work of ministry, helping men and women see Jesus and grow in Jesus. And that matters because everyday disciple making, it centers on Jesus. Let's look again at this commission starting in verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus directs his disciples to Galilee and to a specific mountain in Galilee. This is likely, this is definitely the scene of the Sermon on the Mount. This is not an unfamiliar place. It's where Jesus taught his most famous teaching in all of his ministry. He directs these disciples to that place that he could come and meet with them. The disciples are invited in. And that might not seem like a very staggering observation, but we need to remember what happened just prior to these events. These same disciples who were invited in are the very ones who deserted Jesus. In his greatest moment of need, they left. And Jesus, in this moment, he comes to the women in verse 10, and he says, "Don't be afraid, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee." In the greatest moment, an hour of need, everyone that he cared about left him, and yet he doesn't chastise them. He invites them in, he calls them brothers. Not deserters, not wayward, he calls them brothers. What he's showing us is it's possible to be reconciled and restored to Jesus. And that's true for you as well. Like, I don't know what your life has looked like. I don't know what your week has looked like. I don't know in what kinds of ways you've experienced success in your walk with Jesus this week, or likely ways that you've experienced failure in your walk with Jesus. But the reminder in this moment is that we can be restored to Christ. That he has invited, if you're a disciple, he's invited you in. That you could walk with him, that you could know him, that you might experience life in him. And so he invites them to this mountain, as that was the scene of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's interesting because this is about 100 miles away from Jerusalem where they previously were. And I think in many ways that's instructive for us. He's reminding us that the Jews and Jerusalem, that is no longer the center of all of God's creative, his work, his redemptive work. And instead, now his offer of salvation is for all people, including Jews. Jews and Gentiles alike are invited to trust Jesus, to come to know him, to walk with him. All throughout the scripture, then, the mountain is a place of revelation and communion with God, and that's what Jesus is going to do in this moment. He's going to display something more of what he desires in his people. He gives us this commission that we could know what it is we're to be up to in this world. And he comes to them, and in this moment it says that they worshiped and yet some doubted. Now, we're not told why, but we're told that there's a hesitancy amongst some of them. This is the same language that's used of Peter. Peter steps off of the boat to walk on the water to Jesus, and then he falls into the sea. And Jesus says, "Why are you doubting? Why are you hesitant? Why aren't you fully fledged, faithful, following after me?" We don't exactly know what's going on, why they're hesitant, but we can surely put ourselves in their shoes and recognize that there would be the same kinds of hesitancies in ourselves, wouldn't there? I mean, the one that you've been following around for the last 3 years has been crucified and now is raised and he's in your midst. Like that's a bizarre scene, to say the least, right? We're not exactly sure why, but there's this hesitancy, and maybe you can relate to that even this morning. Maybe in yourself you experience, you sense a hesitancy. Maybe there's a spiritual curiosity about you, like there was with me, and yet there's still some hesitancy. You're not sure whether or not you want to give your life over to Jesus. That's okay. This is a place for you. The church is meant to be a safe place where people can ask the most important questions on the face of the planet. If the church isn't a place for people to wrestle spiritually, to explore their spiritual curiosity, then where are they supposed to do that? Where are you supposed to go when you have those kinds of hesitancies? But in this response that Jesus gives, he does demonstrate to us something of his identity. It's so interesting, his response to them as they worship and yet some are doubtful, some are hesitant. He doesn't chastise them. No, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, upon first blush, we might read those words and think he's somehow describing himself as the boss and he's speaking to his employees. I have all control. I have all the authority. You need to do what I'm getting ready to tell you to do. And yet that's not what's going on in the scene. Jesus is actually pointing to a prophecy out of Daniel chapter 7. And in this moment when he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," he's revealing to us something of his identity. He is the true Messiah, the rescuer of the world. I know that you're hesitant right now. I know that in your heart there's reluctance. But what you need to know is I am the one you have been hoping for. I am the one in whom all of your deepest hopes, dreams, and aspirations will be fulfilled. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He's revealing to us that he is indeed the rescuer of the world. And so, yes, There might be moments of hesitancy. There might be moments of doubt and reluctance in your mind and your heart. But what you can know is Jesus is who he claims to be. He's the Messiah of the world, the one who has come to rescue. So, what is it that you're thinking about Jesus right now? Is Jesus who he claims to be? And if he is indeed the true Messiah, the true rescuer of the world, what would keep you and me from entrusting our lives to him? From turning from living for ourselves and embracing him by faith and now living for him. Even in the midst of hesitancies and reluctance and maybe even questions and doubt, even in the midst of that, will you trust him? Will you give your heart to him? Enter into friendship with Jesus to be rescued and redeemed forever and always. Everyday disciple making is for every disciple. That kind of disciple making, it centers on Jesus, who he is and what he came to do. But secondly, everyday disciple making is for every follower of Jesus. Let's again turn our attention to the commission. And Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The commission, the command, the call is to make disciples. That's the only command in these verses. And so the call on the life of every follower of Jesus is to make disciples. That is to introduce men and women to Jesus that they might find life in him. That is to help followers of Jesus grow up in Christ, investing in them for their spiritual good, that they might be able to invest in others as well. And we're to do this work in everyday life. Go and make disciples. As you are on your way, as you go about your everyday, we're to be the kinds of people who are investing in others. Investing in others. Here's the thing. If you know Jesus, and I promise you this, there were men and women who invested in your life. And now Jesus, the Savior of the world, is inviting you to step into his plan and his purpose, to be that kind of person for another. We're to make disciples of all nations. In this, yes, we're to go about making disciples in everyday life where you live, work, and play. But this is also implicitly a call to the nations, to go elsewhere where Jesus' name is not known, where his kingdom is not experienced, that men, women, boys, and girls might find life in Jesus. There are people, groups all around the world who have no access to the gospel message. And Jesus' invitation in this moment to go and make disciples is a call to some to uproot your life and move around the world. But this is also a reminder of God's work throughout his redemptive story, because in this, he is also pointing back to his first call to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham is called out by God that he would be blessed so that he could be a blessing to the nations. That work of being blessed to be a blessing to the nations didn't end with Abraham, but it continues on with the Great Commission. To be a blessing to the nations is to take the message of Jesus to those who need it. It's to invest in people's lives that they could do the work of everyday disciple making, both here at home and around the globe. Everyday disciple making is for every follower of Jesus. And what is the work of disciple making? We've said it and alluded to it several times, but Jesus makes it crystal clear. It's all about reaching and growing. He says this disciple making, making disciples, is plays itself out in baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Reaching and teaching, reaching and growing, baptizing and teaching to live in obedience. He says baptism is the imagery of someone coming to Jesus, entering into the faith. And so we must understand that disciple making involves communicating the gospel to those who need it. That men and women might trust Christ, come into a relationship with him. And he says we're to baptize in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're inviting people to experience our triune God. There may be no other place in all of the Gospels that is clearer on the Trinity than this. There is one God, a singular name, but that one God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so if there's any doubt or any question whether or not this idea of the Trinity is just some made-up, fancied, notion from the early church, nothing could be further from the case. We're introducing people to our triune God through Jesus. Baptism, then, pictures the effect of the gospel on people. It pictures it. In the same way, to trust Christ, you have to turn away from your old self. You have to die to your old way of life. So you are submerged under the water, demonstrating you are dead to that old way of life. And to trust Jesus, you have to embrace him by faith. And so you come up out of the water, demonstrating that you are a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. This is why baptism is seen as the first act of obedience for the Christian. And maybe there's some in the room who that's the step you need to take. You've given your life to Christ, and now you need to identify with Jesus and with his people through baptism. And so Jesus is helping us understand crystal clear, disciple making includes evangelism, reaching the lost, our language from last week, introducing people to Jesus, but it also includes teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, Jesus says. How do we help people grow? We help them grow by looking to Jesus, to his words, to his teaching. We walk with Jesus and with Jesus' teaching. This is how we help one another grow up in Christ. We learn to live in light of the teaching of Jesus so that we might grow. He might transform us to become the kinds of people he created us to be. And so we help one another. Every day, disciple making is for every disciple. So here are some simple steps we could take even this week. Simple steps that we could take to live out this vision of everyday disciple making. First, we need to focus our lives on Jesus. We need to remember who he is. He's the Savior of the world. He is the second person of the triune God. He took on human flesh and he walked among us. And because of that, it makes all the difference for you and me if we place faith and trust in him. So we need to think on Jesus. It's in light of who he is, then, that we hear his teaching. If he is the creator of the world, then he's designed us, he's hardwired us, he knows what's for our best. He knows how we're going to flourish in this life. And so, of course, we listen, observe, obey his teaching. To not obey the teaching of Jesus is to say, I don't want to flourish in this life. We need to remember this week as we think about Jesus that no matter your past, you're invited in. No matter your past as you think historically, no matter your past this week, you are invited in to turn from the old way of life and to embrace Jesus by faith. No matter your failures. And we need to walk this together. We're not to walk this path alone. We're rather to walk in the believing community. This commission was given to the church. Yes, individual disciples are called to make disciples, but it was given to the community, the church, that we would be the kinds of men and women who are living this out in everyday ways. So what might it look like? What might it look like for you this week to think about one friend that you could begin investing in, that you could point them to Jesus, that you could find a way to communicate the gospel message to them, that you could enter into conversation about Christ, maybe invite them to join you to walk through that Gospel of Mark evangelistic conversation guide, thinking about Jesus over the course of 8 passages in the Gospel of Mark. Super simple and easy. Just over the course of, you know, several weeks or a few months, sit down across the table from someone and let's just chat about Jesus. What do you think about what we're reading about him? Maybe it's sitting down with a friend who knows Jesus that you could encourage one another and help one another grow. If you did nothing other than just sit down and talk about what God is doing in your life by his word. Here's what I read this morning. Here's what it made me think about. How about you? How do we pray for one another? It's not rocket science, I promise you that. I'm involved. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. What might it look like this week to think about a friend that you could begin meeting with regularly? What would it look like to engage in the life of this local church, to be a part of things like Trunk or Treat this afternoon? Just a simple way to invest in people, helping serve people without any strings attached. We've been blessed to be a blessing. That's all it's about. We're even going to have the Chiefs game on for you. Like, what would it look like to come and to invest? And maybe it's taking a step to engage in the partner connection. Is this local church the church you should belong to? Every follower of Jesus should belong to a local church. Is this that church for you? That would be a great step. It doesn't commit you to anything. All you're doing is exploring and seeing what this church is all about and deciding, is this the church for me? Because every follower of Jesus needs to be actively engaged in the life of the local church. Maybe it's about attending Vision Night on November 10th. This annual night that we have, looking back at what the Lord has done and looking ahead at where he's leading us. It's an opportunity for us to be engaged in the life of community, to orient our minds and our hearts around the mission of Jesus next year. Why not carve out a couple of hours on a Sunday evening to come in this room and to think about what God is leading us to in the coming year? It's an opportunity for us to engage in the mission of Jesus in practical, tangible ways as a believing community together. We're reminded in this passage that we're empowered. We are commissioned to make disciples, and we're not doing it on our own. We do it together as his people, but Jesus is with us every step of the way, empowering us to live the life he's called us to. And so as we close out our time together, as we do every week with the Lord's Supper, it's an opportunity to remember that Jesus' promise is to be with us always to the end of the age. And so when we enter into this moment of communion, it is just that, it's communing with our God. It is reminding ourselves that Jesus is spiritually present in this moment. That he is here to meet with you, to encourage you, to challenge you, to help you grow, to help you find life in him, And so if you've trusted Christ by faith, if you're a follower of Jesus, then this is an opportunity for you to respond as an act of worship, remembering that Jesus is spiritually present in this moment. What is the step he's asking you to take? Who's that person on your mind and heart that you want to reach out to this week? Who's that friend that you want to begin connecting with to talk about spiritual things that you might be encouraged and grow in Christ? And then as you have set your heart in response, come forward in worship, taking that wafer, reminding ourselves that Jesus' body had to be broken, his blood had to be shed, so that we could find forgiveness, entrance into his family, to be changed and transformed from the inside out. Every day, disciple making is for every disciple. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word.